This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greetings to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And this program that we've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard, because we know that God wants to have the standard raised in the body of Christ. And we see a lot of things in our world today that are kind of drifting. The morality and things are drifting away from what it should be according to the Word of God. This is what we need to get back, or the Holy Word, don't we, Pastor Donna? This book we have in front of us is what we have to have in our lives and to walk according to what God tells us to do. So we welcome all you listeners, wherever you are. If you're at home, listen on the radio, maybe out in your car, wherever. We hope you will be blessed with what we're going to talk about today. And we're so honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. It's hard to believe, honey, 20 plus years we've been on this radio program. So we thank all you people that's listened. We thank you for the offerings that have come in over different times, and we thank you for that. And the Lord speaks to you about that. You know, sometimes we hear things and we enjoy it, but we don't ever think about giving an offering. And, you know, if I went to a restaurant and had a good meal, I have to pay for it, don't I?
And you give good tips.
And we give you some good tips on some things in the Word of God to help you understand the depth of it. And the mysteries do belong to us, because Jesus said that He told His disciples, you've been given the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So we're part of Yeshua now. So we can also receive those mysteries as well. He shows us a lot of new things, doesn't he, Pastor Don?
You talked about offering. I think about when we went out to eat after prayer on Thursday.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you gave the waitress, Ann, but she came over and thanked you for the generous gift that you gave her.
I gave her a little more than most people
would.
Well,
you know, we are servants, aren't we? We mm-hmm. serve, and those ladies and men, gentlemen who serve us food when we go out to eat, they deserve to be blessed. And
that's
so.
Right.
We're serving the body of Christ here.
Hallelujah.
and bringing forth God's word. And so if the Lord lays it on your heart, maybe He's going to lay it on your heart to give a special offering at the end of this year.
Hallelujah.
To Raising the Standard radio broadcast.
Thank you, Lord.
So we can be on for another month. Every month we have to pay the bill.
Every month. That's right.
it's something we have to do. It's not free, that's for sure. So we do thank you for that. I also want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. Have meetings with the Lord. We come together every Friday night at 7 p.m. and we have communion, and we have our Shabbat service.
Hallelujah.
And we worship God, and we teach from the Torah, from the first five books of the Bible, and also the other in the New Testament and other.
We're
going to
do some half Torahs this year too, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And then we also have services on Sunday morning, which is the first day of the week, and that's at 11 o'clock. So come join us sometime here in Stuart. Spirit of Prophecy, you can Google it on your phone. It'll come up. And we're right on Canner Highway. For the time being, we'll be moving into a new facility and after the first of the year. But come and join us, and I'm going to give you the phone number. You can call. We can give you directions, or you want to ask any questions about the ministry. We'd be glad to talk to you or pray with you. Or if you ask Jesus in your heart, come, call. We'll pray for you. And maybe you have some prayer requests that you want to ask us to pray for. So the phone number here is area code 772 285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. I also want to mention we're on the internet, so there are people who listen to us in other states.
Hallelujah.
And other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real blessing. That's WCNO.com. So if you happen to be driving down the road, maybe this is the first time you've heard us, you're hearing us. So you can always go back and listen to the podcast on WCNO and just go to Saturday. Look for Raising the Standard at 12 o'clock noon with Gene and Donna Hilton. And you will. I pray that you will be blessed. And so that's a great blessing. And we want to say hello to those out there who do listen to us in other
yes.
places, other states. And I think about Dan and Kathy and Daryl and Judy.
Yeah.
And others.
South Carolina.
And other places, yeah. you know. So it's a blessing. And Roscoe and Audrey on Andros
Island. Yes.
So we want to say hello to them and also the Temple of God, the people over there. And pray that that building is going up and they need funds to supply. And we prayed Saturday that that money would come in from other, unknown sources. And, you know, even that people that live on that island, that there would be some supernatural, wonderful wood just dropped off at his at their in
for
their,
the trusses
in their,
for the roof, right?
In their yard.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. They need a lot of wood for
yeah.
that and other things to finish the building up. So the roof's not on yet. The roof is the next thing to go on. So
that's
you know,
right.
a lot of things have to be done before the roof goes on. But we thank the Lord that the roof is going to be nice and strong and it will and Roscoe and Audrey. Be able to minister to many, many people on Andros Island. Amen. So we bless you guys over there.
Amen.
We love you and we miss you and we thank you for your faithfulness.
That's right. To God first and then to us as well.
They are faithful.
They are so faithful. Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, they are. So, you know, he's on hold right now because the finances have to come in to buy the wood and all. So he's been building that building the last few years, little by little, as the money come in. He doesn't want to have any debt. There's not going to
be no debt.
It's going to be
cleared
by God, and we thank you for that. And so they're doing an awesome work over there on Andros Island. Hallelujah.
And God promises he's going to provide.
He sure will. So it's called the Temple of God. They're on Conch Sound. On Andros Island. They're blowing a conch shell like a shofar.
Like a shofar, right?
That's right.
A trumpet.
They're declaring those things, and they're the true, really. I don't think there's anything else that they're
prophesy
aware of.
Prophesy over there.
It's prophesy that they're the true apostle and prophet on Andros Island. And so we thank you for their call, their appointment, their anointing, and the power that they're walking in. And we give you praise and honor for them,
Father. And they're teaching the roots.
That's right, just like we do.
And of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And they're teaching the feasts of the Lord, and they're
mm-hmm.
celebrating the feasts of the Lord.
Yep.
And amen. And so, you know, that they're doing everything that God has told them to do.
It's incredible.
They're obedient.
That's
what it's all about, they're being obedient and faithful.
You know, I'm looking at this book I got in front of me, the Holy Bible. You know, this is the history of the world right here, the most important part. This is what God wants us to know from the very beginning
mm-hmm.
all the way to the end. So why is it so many people don't want to hear about prophecy? Oh, that's old. I've heard that before. Hey, God's got some revelation yet to be revealed from out of these appointed times that we need to know even today, to encourage us. What's it all about? To encourage us to know how it's going to come to a conclusion, how it's going to end. We will not be caught in darkness like, you know, Paul talked about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, about people being caught in darkness. Why? Because they don't know the Lord. And if they do know the Lord, if they haven't had the teaching, well, they're going to be deceived and all. And God has everything planned for all of the world. It's all revealed right here in this book. And these seven appointed times are so important for people to really understand the depth of it more than anything else. And this is not something to tickle your ear. This is something to encourage you and to strengthen you. So we're going to...
Prophecy, Pastor Gene, is going to be fulfilled.
That's right. All of it. Every single thing.
And everything that we have... You know, God is faithful. Everything that He says He will do, He will do. And He'll do it in the timing that He says it's going to happen.
Yeah, He gives us the times in the Bible.
And the time is really short. We
That's
can
right.
see all these things that are happening. And we just thank the Lord. We got to continue to pray for our president because he has been appointed and anointed to be the president of the United States for such a time as this.
Hallelujah.
To bring this country back to some true foundations. And to break down some things. Now, the Lord gave me a word a few weeks ago.
That's right.
And He said that this president and this year, these years to come, are like a hammer.
A hammer.
And we're to be...
Like Judah the hammer, right?
And we're to be like a hammer.
That's right.
You know, what does a hammer do? A hammer not only does it build, but it also tears down.
That's right.
You can pull things apart. You can tear things down. So he is tearing down some old political ways and some, I just say, ungodly things
that's
that
right.
our nation has
Many of them.
Put in place.
Yeah.
And he is trying to build and to establish things according to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the White House, you know,
yeah.
he talks about Christmas. He said, you know, every place that you go now, they're saying Merry Christmas. You know, there were places a couple of years ago.
They didn't want that
people
done.
People were afraid, even in a restaurant, to say Merry Christmas.
That's right.
But now you go into a store or you go into a restaurant, well, they'll say Happy Holiday, but if you say Merry Christmas first, they'll repeat it back to you.
With Merry Christmas
so,
as well, yeah.
So, to bring Christ, he's bringing Christ back. You know, there's prayer in the White House. There's prayer with their meetings, and you can see them. Now, they don't show them on TV, but I've seen many of the prayers on Facebook.
Behind closed doors, yeah.
They will show them on Facebook. Somebody's
right.
taking pictures of
sure.
them all praying.
Uh-huh.
And so they're praying. They were praying just the other day, and I saw
sure.
it. So, you know, they are praying, and they know, he knows where his help comes from. So we need to pray that he will have the wisdom and discernment to make every decision according to God's word.
And God's showing him also. Yeah.
Amen.
So we will tell you, we just finished Hanukkah. We'll tell you Happy Hanukkah, and we'll tell you Merry Christmas as well. So it's interesting how they're close together. And so we're lifting up Jesus, and so that's what it's all about.
Well, it's all about Christ, isn't it?
It's all about him.
It's all about Christ. And we know that he was conceived at Hanukkah.
That's right.
And he wasn't born on December 25th, even though people celebrate that time of his birth. But he was conceived. Before he's a birth, there's always has to
have
to
a
be
conception.
Conception.
That's right. By the Holy Ghost, he came.
We believe that he was born on the Feast of Tabernacles, the first day of Feast of Tabernacles, which we've talked about before. The Feast of Tabernacles is just like Hanukkah.
There are lights involved.
They're both the same. And the lights involved, and they're both have to do with the Messiah.
That's right.
And of course, we know the eighth day means rejoicing in the Messiah. And we just finished Hanukkah, and so you know this weekend people are now busy. But you know, remember, Christmas is not all about gifts and presents. It's about Christ.
About him. To remember
it's about
him.
Christ. So
whether
to remember
him. Whether it's the
right
time of the year or not, we remember
tell
Christ.
Tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen.
That's right.
Okay,
he's our Savior.
There's some things to talk about today.
Yeah, we talked for a couple, 3 weeks about Hanukkah, and we know Hanukkah's passed now by a few days, but I was just really, I got a strong unction from the Lord here the other day. He says, you forgot to tell people on the radio, and we didn't tell it at church, and I finished it last Sunday and explained the most important part of the whole thing about Hanukkah, and it's about dedication. That's what Hanukkah meant, and so I'm going to try to share that with you. The most important part of all this is what's going to happen at the end. Now, some people say, well, that don't matter, Pastor Gene. That's way ahead. I'll probably be dead and gone when all that comes. Well, we may not be dead and gone, but we might be here. We might be caught off the earth and get to see it from heaven. Or if we die, we're still going to get to see it. Hallelujah. So I'm going to take you over to Daniel chapter 12. The most important thing here is how it ends. And even Daniel, the angel showing Daniel here, all these things that he saw at the very end. And chapter 12 is referring to the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. And if you study the Bible, you know that the tribulation period or Jacob's trouble is divided into two portions of 1260 days each. And so we can look at this, and God's going to show some interesting things here. So I'm going to take you to Daniel chapter 12, and I'm going to read a few things here for you. I'm going to start in verse 1. So Father, we just release your word to the listeners out there, wherever they are. Give them the wisdom that you want them to have. We're going to read some stuff here about the wisdom also to be wise. Give them the understanding that you want them to know at this particular time. So they will know what's going to come, how it's going to come, when it's going to come. Now, we don't know for sure what year, but it's going to come 1 year. So we have that builds our faith to know that you're in charge. Hallelujah. Verse 1. And at the time shall Michael's the archangel for Israel. Who was the angel that spoke to Mary about bringing forth the child? Huh? Yeshua? It was who? Gabriel. Well, here Michael's with Israel. The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble. What's this? Jacob's trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, at the time of the end, thy people, these are the Jewish people, shall be what? Delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Well, we know it's the Messiah's book, Yeshua's book of life. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep or are dead in the dust of the earth shall awake. They're going to rot. There's going to be a resurrection. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So here's this verse right here is covering a 1,000-year period. There'll be a group go out at the beginning. 1,000 years later, there's going to be another one, another group that's going to be brought out that'll go into everlasting contempt. And they that be wise, here's that word wise, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. That's where we are right now. That's why this book is being revealed in a greater dimension than ever before. And all the things we're seeing today about God's appointed time that's being restored. A restoration is coming to those things that's been laid down by the church and forgotten about so much. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now we think about computers and all that. Well, that might be part of that. But the knowledge that we're wanting to have see increase is going to be the knowledge of God, the wisdom, the mysteries that we have in the Word of God to teach us how these things are going to come to a conclusion. That should encourage us and strengthen us no matter what. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed with linen, or in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? They're asked, how long is this going to be? And then what they say in the book of Revelation, the saints that are up there, you know, their bodies are not there yet, but their spirits and souls say, how long, Lord? How much longer, Lord? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, held up both hands to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be what? For a time, times and a half. That shows you the 3.5-year time period, right? Time is 1 year, times is 2 years, plural, and a half is a half time. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter, who's we're talking about the false Messiah now, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. God's going to take care of it. Aren't you glad? And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, talking to Daniel, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. But we're in the time of the end. These are the last days that we're in right now. I believe it with all my heart. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise, what? Shall understand. How are we going to get the wisdom to be wise? It comes from the Word of God and from the Holy Ghost to teach us these things that we need to know. Verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, we're not going to talk about this. We're done with Hanukkah. The next event that's going to come up is called what? Purim. This verse refers to Purim. We'll talk about that when that time comes. We're not too far away. Now, here's the verse we're going to key in on. Verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. So here the angel's telling Daniel that there's going to be a bunch of people that are going to be blessed, that's going to be alive in their physical bodies, that's going to be there at the end of 1,305 days. 1,335 days. There'll be a group of people that'll survive. They will come out of Jacob's trouble and go into the kingdom in their physical mortal bodies. He says they're going to be blessed. And then verse 13, the last of Daniel, last verse. But go thy way, he's telling Daniel, till the end be what? The end of his life. For thou shalt rest. Rest in Hebrew means what? He's going to die. He's going to go into the grave. And thou shalt rest. And then it says, and stand. Now we go to the future. And stand. This is talking about resurrection. He's going to rise in thy lot, what's been appointed to him, at the end of the days. So he'll be resurrected at the end of the days. This is amazing when you think about this. Amen. So you know, we have people talking today that when the resurrection and the catching away come, it's going to be all the Jews that are in the world, you know, and all the believers and all that, and they're all going to go at the same time. But the Bible makes it clear there's going to be two groups. See, God's still working with Israel. He's not done with them. Now, the church age is going to come to an end pretty soon. It's pretty soon now. And then Jacob's trouble is going to start for 7 years. And then at the end, what's going to happen? There'll be another resurrection of the old, I don't like to call them Old Testament saints. They're the first covenant people. They're going to be resurrected and walked with God like Daniel, you know, David, all these prophets. Amen? They're going to be raised also. And so that's going to be on the last Feast of Trumpets of Jacob's trouble. And so that's when they'll be. So Daniel says right here, he's going to be resurrected at the end of the days. So if he's going to be resurrected at the end of the days, all those righteous saints of old that never knew Yeshua, that walked with him, and God imputed to them for righteousness because what they believe God, they'll all be resurrected too. It's going to be amazing when we think about it. So God's not going to forget anybody. But right now, the church age is still going on. But one day, that's going to stop. We've talked about this a lot on the program. In Daniel chapter 9, it tells us when Jesus, Yeshua, was cut off, the prophetic clock stopped. Not time, but the clock. When we're waiting for that 70th week to be completed from Daniel's prophecy. Well, it's going to come one day. And so that clock has been shut off. Well, when is Israel's clock going to start again? I believe it's going to be in the Day of Atonement, the first week, or the first year, I should say, in Jacob's trouble, on the Day of Atonement, that clock will be turned on. It'll go for 2,520 days, which will bring you exactly to what? The Day of Atonement at the end of Jacob's trouble, when Armageddon and all that comes. It's all here. It's all clear for us to understand this. People need to understand this. They won't have the fear of all the things that people talk about today, that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. We just go with the Word of God. We're going to key in, though, on verse 12 is what I want to talk about here with you, because we didn't cover that last week. It says, blessed is he that waiteth. See, you're going to have to wait. If they survive Jacob's trouble and they wait and come up to the 1,305 days. So we have 1,335 days that we're talking about here. Well, now think about this. This is all referring about mid-tribulation. So this has to start at mid-tribulation, what Daniel's talking about. So if we go from Passover during Jacob's trouble, okay, we're thinking about this now, and we go 1,260 days, what are we going to come to? We have Nisan 14 and 15, okay? So what happens in the fall during Tishri? What happens on Tishri 15? That's the beginning what? Of Tabernacles. So here we're saying, he's showing us, it's going to be 1,260 days, we know 1,260 days from mid-trib until what? The Day of Atonement. That's that period. Well, then when we look at this, that's 1,260 days. Well, then this shows right here, there's going to be 1,335 days. So now we got an extra 75 days left over. What are those 75 days all about? Is it just something that God put in the book? No. And I've read all kinds of things about it. And I've never found anybody that really told you exactly what it meant. See, it's all revolving around God's appointed times and also those kingdoms, because we know Hanukkah and Purim was not an appointed time. God just remembered what was done in those days against his people. So we have to keep all this in mind. So, here we go. We're on the Day of Atonement. And I remember when I studied this. And I said, well, Lord, what are those other 75 days? And I had all these commentaries, which thank God I don't have them anymore. But I looked through all of them. And nobody had a real good answer for what this was all about. But with God's word and God's appointed times and the times during the year, you can find out what this represents and what it means. And you will not be fooled by that. Do you know that during Hanukkah, when what brought that all on? What happened when the Judah the Maccabee came in, the hammer came in? They had to rededicate the temple that was desecrated, okay? There's going to be another temple that's going to be built in Jacob's trouble. It will be desecrated also. When will it happen? It'll start in mid-tribulation. It's when this will happen. It'll be desecrated, and it's going to go for those 3.5 years, and then we come out to the end, and now we say we got another 75 days. Well, what are those 75 days all about? Are you ready to hear this? Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you? Think about it. God told me one day, studying the Bible and thinking about this, he says, go from the Day of Atonement, which is Tishri 10, on God's appointed calendar, okay? His calendar, the lunar calendar. He says, I want you to go and count 75 days from that and see what it shows up on my calendar, not the world's calendar. So I did it. I pulled out my calendar, and I counted the 75 days. And you know what it came out to on the 75th day? The first day of Hanukkah, which is Kislev 25. Wow. So what's God revealing with this? He's showing us that there's going to be another dedication of the temple that's going to be desecrated by the false Messiah 75 days after the end of Jacob's trouble. And guess what? If you're born again and you love the Lord, and you're resurrected out from among the dead, or you get caught away, you and I will be there at that event to watch it be dedicated by the priesthood and all, and see what's going to happen in that particular day. I mean, it's exciting. So we're not being fooled by anything. So these verses are important. Now, in a few weeks when we get
Jesus himself will dedicate it.
That's right. He'll be there also, but all the priesthood as well.
Sure.
But this verse before we talked about, verse 11, this is about Purim. We'll talk about that when we get there. But there's an interesting thing here. It's 1,290 days. We've got an extra 30 days beside the 1,260. We'll talk about that then. It's all important for you to know what in the world's going on out here today. And so God wants us to be aware. So here with this brought us up to the first day of Hanukkah. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? I mean, I say, when I found that, I says, wow, God. I think I put it in my book where I wrote it. I said, wow.
And you know, you're giving a lot of numbers.
That's right.
And people want to study this, and they need to get your book.
That's right.
We just had a whole bunch more books printed because they're going. We were down to like a couple left, and so you know, all of these feasts of the Lord are in the book, and the calendars and the charts are in the book.
They all line up with God's word.
God's calendar is in the book, and everything you need to know about the feasts of the Lord and Hanukkah and Purim and also what you're reading now about Daniel in the book of Revelation, it's all in there.
That's right.
All those charts, which they can look and see all the numbers and they can follow it along and how it lines up with the Word of God.
That's it.
And you know, you didn't put anything in your book that didn't have two or three scriptures.
Witnesses, right?
As witnesses,
That's right.
And so people can study that and they can get this in-depth study as each. You know, you don't have to read the commentary as a book. You go and just read each feast of the Lord, and that's all in there. So that if anybody would like that, they can give us a call or they can send a check. You know, it's only $25 plus shipping and handling.
$84 for shipping and handling.
And it's a great study, and some people are teaching it in their churches or in their Bible studies. So, it's a great tool to have to know about the feast of the Lord, not the feast of the Jews or Israel, but the feast of the Lord.
That's right.
That's what it's called. That's what they're called.
That's right. And even though God didn't establish that in the beginning, we know that He remembers any kingdom that's come against His people. There'll be a retribution, and He'll use those events, even the times, to repeat. It was something happened in history. He'll repeat it with a different scenario at the end, and so we know that. And we know Jacob's troubles is an example of that as well. And so it's amazing. So now I want to take you over to the book of Ezekiel with me for a moment. And I want to show you something over here in Ezekiel that proves this about the dedication of this temple that's going to happen during the millennial reign, right at the beginning when it starts. Okay? All right. What I want to do, I'm taking you to Ezekiel chapter 43. And we're going to read a little bit here. And we read through this, you're going to see there's a picture showing of a dedication being done to something that was desecrated. Now, verse 18 in Ezekiel chapter 43 says this, "And he said unto me, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God, these are the ordinances of the altar." Hear this? The altar. "In the day when they shall make it to offer burnt offerings." Remember, those are free will offerings. What, at 9 and 3 in the afternoon? "Thereon, and to sprinkle blood thereon. And thou shalt give to the priests, the Levites, that be of the seed of Zadok, which approach unto me to minister unto me, saith the Lord God, a young bullock for a sin offering." So they were sacrificing some animals here for a reason. "And thou shalt take of the blood thereof and put it on the four horns of it and on the four corners of the settle and upon the border round about. Thus shalt thou cleanse and purge it. Thou shalt take the bullock also of the sin offering, and he shall burn it in the appointed place of the house without the sanctuary. And on the second day thou shalt offer a kid of the goats without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they did cleanse it with the bullock." Now somebody might be saying right now, Pastor Don, well, why would they be sacrificing animals? Jesus has already come back, and Jacob's trouble's over, and now they're in this precious time called millennial reign. I believe with all my heart, these are memorials of what Christ did for us. And I'm going to show you a verse here in a little bit that kind of proves this, because something was left out in these ceremonies, as we'll see over here in Ezekiel. I think it's in chapter 48 or so. I'll look at it with you in a moment. But anyway, so they're dedicating this house, and putting these sacrifices are being released to remember what Christ did for all of us, all the way down through time, even to this point.
And it's only in the morning.
It's only in the morning. That's what we're going to show in a moment. "When thou hast made an end of cleansing it," in verse 23, "thou shalt offer a young bullock without blemish, and a ram out of the flock without blemish. And thou shalt offer them before the Lord, and the priest shall cast salt upon them." We've all been salted, haven't we, Pastor Donna? "And they shall offer them up for a burnt offering unto the Lord." Now it says, "7 days shalt thou prepare every day a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish." Well, if we look at this, this is referring to Kislev 25. It runs for what? 8 days, and it's going to end on Tevet 2. But this is what he's showing. He's talking about the 7 days. Now, verse 26, "7 days shalt they purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate themselves. They'll set themselves apart. And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day, how long is Hanukkah? 8 days. How long is the Feast of Tabernacles? 8 days, counting the last day, which is called Simchat Torah. And so forward, and the priest shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord. So this is showing us the dedication of the temple of God in the, right after Jesus comes back, 75 days after the Day of Atonement. Well, let's look at what I just mentioned to you about this. We're going to show you something very interesting here in chapter 46. Where do I want to go here to start with? Well, let's just read the key verse. Verse 13 says this, "Thou shalt daily prepare a burnt offering." Well, remember, that was the burnt offering was what, at 9 and 3 in the afternoon? It was required of God. It was a free will offering. It was important to God. That's why we saw there that a couple weeks ago about the 2,300 days it talked about over in Daniel, and how God was referring not necessarily to the days. The days meant mornings and or evenings and mornings, and how many days it would those how many days not only the days, but how many sacrifices would be failed to be given to God at 9 and 3 in the afternoon. That was all revealed as we taught that. So he says, "Thou shalt daily prepare a burnt offering unto the Lord of a lamb of the first year without blemish. Thou shalt prepare it," what? "Every morning." So time was that in what time in the morning? At 9 a.m. "And thou shalt prepare a meat offering for it every morning, the sixth part of an ephah and the third part of a hin of oil, to temper with a fine flour, a meat offering continually by perpetual ordinance unto the Lord. Thus shall they prepare the lamb and the meat offering and the oil every morning for a continual burnt offering." Will not, you can read all this yourself. There's not one thing mentioned through here about a burnt offering offered at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why? Because Jesus Christ only died once for all of us.
And he died at 3 p.m.
And he died at 3 p.m. So that's the reason why.
The final offering.
And so it's revealed. And so it's a memorial to what the Lord did for us. So it's a single offering. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so God required that all those years, and anyone that would come in and interrupt those offerings, God remember them. So Antiochus Epiphanes that we talked about, he came in and stopped all that. So do you think God forgot about that? Absolutely not. But he took one family again, a small family that would not tolerate this. You know, it shows when Antiochus came in history that he killed 40,000 people just in a matter of days. 40,000 people were killed. Most of the people that didn't get killed, they followed this false guy, this false despot.
They bowed to him
because they were afraid, okay? But there was one family that says, "No, I'm not going to do it." You know, he came in and he sacrificed a pig on the altar. They urinated on the altar, did all these things. He put a statue of Zeus in there with his face on it, declared himself to be God. That's what his name, Antiochus Epiphanes. Epiphanes means God manifest. He was going to manifest himself to the people that he was God. What's going to happen during Jacob's trouble? We can read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the same thing. The false Messiah is going to go in and do the same thing. So these are all patterns. These are all foreshadows to show us what's going to happen in the future. And so we have all this for us to understand this. And so anybody that came along that stopped these things, God will not forget it. So what happened in the day of Esther and Mordecai, you know? What happened there? Same thing, you know. The Persians came in, stopped a lot of things the Jewish people couldn't do in the land of Persia at all. And so two people stood up. But in this we're talking about, one family, the Maccabees, stood up and they said, "We're not going to tolerate this." So Judah the Maccabee, the hammer, he gathered together 200 or 300 people and they ran to the mountains. And what did they do? They had to fight the Seleucids, and the king was Antiochus, and they fought them for 3 years, and we found out for 3 years and 70 days. And they finally took the temple compound back with just unsurmountable odds that they couldn't do it, but they did it. And they rededicated the temple. That's what Hanukkah is all about. And so God doesn't forget anybody that stops his work with his people. And so we have to remember that. And so, you know, I think about the burnt offering, you know, at 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. Why did God pick that time for Christ to be put on the cross at 9, and he was the only man that ever lived that chose the exact moment he was going to die at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, because he had to fulfill everything that was written about him. Every offering. In Leviticus, when you study the five offerings that were offered over there. They were all about Yeshua in the future. They're all prophetic to him. So that had to be fulfilled. And so when somebody interrupted that, God wasn't too happy about that, and he did something about it. So he did it. He did it several times, and we're going to see here at the end as well. What's going to happen to the false Messiah and the false prophet? Huh? They're going to be taken care of, aren't they, at the end of Jacob's trouble. So we have all this fitting together, the history of it and all that. And so God wants us to remember, he wants us to honor those things. Now, we don't offer animals at 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon, but we can remember the day that Yeshua was hung on the cross. Push, mandala, kasandala, at 9 p.m. in the morning, the same time that the priesthood was putting a lamb on the altar, tied it to the altar in the temple at 9 in the morning. Think about that. And then he hung there between heaven and earth for 6 hours. Why would God do that? Why would he? You know, he killed all the animals. He was so merciful with them. He cut their throats and they died instantly. He didn't do that with the Messiah. Why not? Because he had to fulfill the offering at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. It had to be fulfilled. It had to be fulfilled. So he left him on that tree to suffer for those 6 hours for you and I, which is man's number. He suffered for you and I to fulfill those two burnt offerings. And he was a free will offering, wasn't he? Nobody made him do that. You know, he asked the Father 3 times if he'd take this cup away from him, but he knew that it wasn't going to happen. So he said, all right, Father, not my will, but your will be done. So he was willing to do that, went through the terrible beating that he went through for you and I, hung on that tree then. They nailed him to that tree, the tree that he put in place. He grew the tree that he was hung on. And then he put him on there. And he knew that he had to fulfill every single thing that was written about him. And so it means he had to die between the two evenings at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Like I said, he's the only man that ever chose the exact moment that he would die. What was that moment? The high priest went up the steps in the altar in the temple with a knife. And that lamb that was tied to the horns, he cut that lamb's throat and said, it is finished. Meaning, it's the last sacrifice of this particular day. It's done. Yeshua, at the same time, hanging on that cross on Golgotha, said at 3 p.m., it is finished, and letting the whole world should have realized and known that he's the last sacrifice that will ever be required for a covering or removal of sin in any way, shape, or form. He is it. That's the end of it. Never again. So he fulfilled all that. And don't you ought to get excited about that, knowing about why God. You know, I've talked to a lot of pastors, and they don't know why God put Jesus on the cross for 6 hours. They don't understand it. But see, it's fulfilled in his word. And so the Jews did that for hundreds and hundreds of years. They offered those sacrifices every morning and every afternoon, year after year after year, until someone came in and stopped it. And then God rose up and he says, that's it. And so he took care of it. He always has. He did it with the Persians. He did it with the Seleucids out of Alexander the Great's empire, with a few people, a handful of people, didn't they? They were bold.
That's right.
Stopped all this. And they and you know, you think about it, the Seleucid army was huge. You say, wow, how in the world could that be done with a handful of people? It's because God was on their side. Mm-hmm. And you can read, when I got a book called the Book of Jasher, that's a Jewish writing, and it talks about when Moses died and Joshua took the children of Israel into the promised land and all that. Well, you know, they had wars with all these, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, all these, and they had big cities, and they had walls 30 and 40 feet high with lots of people. And so God took them in there one by one with Joshua. And guess what happened if you read the book? Because God was on their side, every single battle they won. With, you know, the odds were incredible, they could never do it. 200 or 300 men took a city and conquered it. And he did it over and over and over. The book of Jasher shows all those wars that Joshua was involved with. And so, hallelujah. So God was on the side here of the Maccabees. He looked down, he saw a family that really cared about him, and he knew that they would do the things that he wanted them to do. So what happened? They ran to the mountains at that particular time, and they finished their time of tabernacles and all that they were involved with, and then they began to have a war with these, I like to call
they
it...
They were anointed and appointed.
That's right. I call it guerrilla warfare. And so they did these skirmishes, and day by day, they did more and more. And so that's what they did. And finally, when God helped them, they took the city back and the temple compound back and rededicated. That's the beauty of it. So when it was all over, they said, Judah the Maccabees said, what should we do? And they said, well, let's just start up where we left off, because it was stopped during the first day of Tabernacles. And so they started right there. And so both these appointed times, Hanukkah, and also what? Tabernacles or have festivals of lights involved with it. So isn't it amazing that God chose a time when a despot came in and tried to destroy his work in Israel, chose that time to have his son conceived by the Holy Ghost at that particular time, and then we go those 280 days in the future for a birth, and what happened? He was born then on the first day of Tabernacles, another festival that has lights involved with it. I mean, it's amazing.
Which Satan tried to stop
that? Oh, yeah, he tried to stop that as well. That's right. So we see the wonders of God's word. And it's to me,
he killed all the children.
That's right.
And even during the days of Hanukkah.
That's right.
He killed babies. And they killed babies even in the mother's womb.
That's right.
And you know, what's happening today? Babies are being killed daily. And daily, sacrifices.
And even the women during the time of the Maccabees, you know, if Antiochus found out they were circumcising their boys or they were reading the Torah,
right.
They would kill those babies and hang them around the mother's neck when they killed them. It's a matter. You talk about, and we got, you know, we're killing all these babies in America today. Been almost 60
in
million
country.
In the country
everywhere
and all over the world. Now they just accept it like, well, it's okay, you know. But anyway, see, God's heart is grieved when we do things contrary to His word. And we look at our country. Look at how many things we have that's contrary to the word of God.
And the,
same you know, sex marriage. You could go on with all this. You know,
sacrificing those children.
That's right.
And it's terrible what's happening with children.
Because they don't, you know, they accidentally get pregnant and they don't want the child. So instead of putting it up for adoption, what do? They have it aborted. God forbid. God forbid. And so we have a lot of things in this country that's just so, our morality is so low now, lower than it's ever been. And you think about it. How did we ever get to this place? Mainly because we didn't have a bunch of people in the church that would stand up and say, we're not going to tolerate it. We need a bunch of Maccabees and their family. People like that, they were bold and say, hey, we're not going to tolerate that. Instead, they just accepted it. And look where we're at today.
Need some hammers.
We need some hammers out there. Push, to start hammering those things. And so this is an incredible time of the year. And we taught on this for a couple of weeks. And we missed the most important part, which is here at the end. What God's going to do at the end of this age that we're in when he starts his work and brings the millennial reign on the earth. What an exciting
time. Doesn't
the
word say, is not my word like a hammer?
That's right. That's right. It's like a hammer. It breaks the rocks into pieces. You know, when you get a hammer on rocks, what happens? You get sparks. You get some sparks out there. Well, the Maccabees, they brought some real sparks in that day, didn't they? But they won. And why did they win?
They won.
They
God
won.
Was on their side.
God was on their side.
Because they were doing the will of God.
That's right.
Obedience.
That's right. So it's amazing when you think
about
it.
They weren't running in fear. They were being obedient.
They trusted him. And another beautiful thing about this, I don't think we got what we mentioned or not, you know, Antiochus, after Alexander the Great died, and he divided his kingdom up into these four generals that helped him conquer the world in those few years. Well, you know, he had a king of the north, the south, the east, and the west. And the only two that Daniel talks about is the king of the north, which were the Seleucids, and the king of the south, which was the Ptolemies, which was Egypt, okay? But the interesting thing was that after Antiochus, he was the eighth king. Listen to this. He was the eighth king that came out of the Seleucid Empire. After him, the Bible doesn't say one thing about anybody after that. It went on for over 150 years approximately. So several kings were probably involved. But he stopped at the eighth king because Antiochus Epiphanes was a foreshadow of the false Messiah. You can read in Revelation chapter 17 about the eighth king that's going to rise up out of those seven and all that. That's a picture showing us this man is going to be just like what Antiochus Epiphanes did, but he's going to be 100 times worse. It will be no comparison. And so God's warning us to be on the lookout and to know. And we got people saying today that, you know, the false Messiah is going to be revealed to us.
He could be alive today.
I think he's alive somewhere. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 makes it quite clear that he will not be revealed to the world until we are gone. So it means we won't know either until we're gone, the way it sounds there. And so he's not going to be revealed to everybody till the right time. So when will he really be revealed? Probably at mid-tribulation when he's going to bring all hell on this earth. He's going to stop everything with the Jewish people at that particular time. At the beginning, he's going to allow those things to go on. He's going to come in like peace, you know. He tells you that in the book of Revelation. Peace treaty. All the stuff we're hearing about for the first 3.5 years. But at mid-trib, all hell is going to break loose. But do we need at that time? Thank God we're not going to be here. But think about the people that are there that come to Christ. They need to have a heart like the Maccabees and have that big hammer, and they're going to say, they should say, we're not going to tolerate this. They're probably going to lose their lives. We know that. A lot of them are going to be what? They're going to be executed. They're going to have their heads cut off. They're going to be beheaded. It tells you in the Bible. But there's going to need some people to stand up, and we haven't stood up. Have we? We haven't. We're passing laws that are totally contrary to the Word of God. How did we ever come up with a law saying it was okay for two men to get married and two women to get married? How could this world continue on? You know, in the beginning, God told them what? To multiply.
One man and one woman.
To multiply. Well, how could you multiply and have more people if you didn't have a man and a woman together? It won't work any other way. And so what would happen if we did that and went on for hundreds of years? The population would eventually go down to almost nothing when they all died off because nobody would have be producing babies anymore. And so God told us to do that. And so how we ever come up and pass a law like that and then make a big mockery out of it to put the colors of the rainbow on the White House after that law was passed? The abomination to God. How could we do that as a nation?
That's an abomination. That's right. Just like what they did to the temple.
That's right. So, you know, 50 years ago, that would have never happened. People would have been, they would have been in an uproar if that would have been done.
But thank God our president has cleansed the White House. And they've had prayer meetings there.
That's right.
A lot of Christians there. And we thank the Lord that God is being raised up and Jesus' name is being spoken and prayed.
That's right.
And praying in Jesus' name. And he's the only way. He's the way, the only way, the truth,
the only
and the
way.
Life.
There's no other way.
No other way.
Losing my voice here a little bit.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. While you were mentioning that, you know, the days of Esther happened way before Hanukkah was set in place, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at Esther, and she was Jewish, and she kept her identity a secret, but she was called for such a time as that, because again the Jewish people were being persecuted.
That's right.
And they wanted to kill them.
Absolutely.
To kill them all mm-hmm. of them. Mm-hmm. And it says over here in Esther chapter 2, it says, so Esther was taken into King Ahasuerus, that was the king, into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tevet. Well, that's the same month that is at the end of Hanukkah. So that would be the seventh day of Hanukkah. And, you know, the king didn't know that she was Jewish, and it was in the king's seventh reign. It's interesting, seven is mentioned so many times. So it would be in the king's reign, his seventh year.
That's right.
And it would also be in that month of Tevet, which would be the seventh day of Hanukkah.
The seventh day of Hanukkah is Tevet 2.
And so that was when he put the royal crown on her.
That's right.
And made her queen.
Mm-hmm.
And so because she became queen, she was given authority.
That's right.
And so and she was given authority, and the king listened to her, and she even saved the king's life because there was an attack on the king's life, you know?
That's right.
And so it's interesting how God uses these times even before Hanukkah was established.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it says that he made a great feast for her, and it was just really interesting how these things even fall into same timetable even before Hanukkah was established.
That's right.
Because God knows. God is like you talk about your calendar that you have in your book.
Cycling.
God is a cycling.
God.
And all of these feasts, they follow each other, and they're all appointed times, and different things have happened throughout the Bible at these appointed times. And so when we see a certain month, you know, if we just read over it and we don't find out what month it is, because God has a reason for it to be there in the Bible. If it wasn't important, it wouldn't be in the Bible.
That's right.
So he has a reason for telling us what day, what month, what year. So here's the king, Ahasuerus. It was in his seventh year of reign. And so he puts a crown royal on her head during the seventh day mm-hmm. of Hanukkah.
Hallelujah.
So, and like you said, and then they have a party. Well, I think about, you know, we're going to be resurrected, aren't we? And we're
Hallelujah.
Going to be going,
we'll
we're going to have
too,
a party
right?
in
yes.
heaven when we come to that place. And
that's right.
God has God's plans that don't change. And so when we think that we know more than God does, we just need to get into his word and find out, well, let's see what God says about his calendar and what happens during these different times that are appointed times. Amen?
They're appointed by God.
They're appointed by God. Amen. So praise God for his appointed times, you know?
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. And the next celebration we will be having, because we celebrate all of these feasts of the Lord, plus Hanukkah. We just celebrated that last week. And then we'll be celebrating Purim, because Purim is a very special time. It's a joyful time, because it's also a time of deliverance.
That's right.
You know, and God has delivered us. He's delivered us from the power of the enemy, from Satan. And if you're not born again, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart.
Right today.
Right now.
Today's the day of salvation.
Be born again. Know the Lord and come to know the Lord and worship Him.
And serve Him with all your heart.
Serve Him with all your heart and get into His Word and love the Lord and, you know, become a disciple. Become a start to understand these things of the Lord and share the gospel. Share the gospel with other people.
Right.
And be a disciple and go out there and win the lost. That's what Jesus told us to do.
Right.
Didn't he? In Matthew, he told us to go out to win and win the lost.
That's it.
Win the lost at any cost.
At any cost.
At any cost, win the lost.
So that's our function, right? That's what he put us on the earth for. To not only get saved ourselves, but then to declare it and proclaim it everywhere we go. That Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is the only way into the kingdom of heaven. Not all these other things that we hear about. So it's not a complicated message. Don't need a lot of deep teaching about it. He came, died on Nisan 14, rose on Nisan 17 from the dead. And because of that, he shed his blood for all of us, that our sins cannot be covered but removed completely. So if you haven't made that decision today, maybe you're listening. You happen to stop and listen because we were talking about Hanukkah. And you're not born again. You don't know the Messiah. All you have to do is ask Him today. Ask Him to come in. You know, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And we have to know that. You're not here by chance. Like Esther and Mordecai weren't there by chance. Judah the Maccabee, the Hammer, he wasn't there by chance either. And so you're here for a purpose. So God wants you to come.
Well, Jesus said over here in Matthew 28, at the end, He says, "All power is given
Hallelujah.
Unto me in heaven and in earth." He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world."
That's right.
Amen.
What a great promise. Amen.
What a great promise.
So somebody might be listening here that maybe you asked the Lord to come into your life a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and you just kind of slid into the world system. You know, we can read the parable of the sower of the seed, and the one that all the cares of life and the riches choked out what God put in their heart. Maybe you're in that place, you fell back into that place, and you're living like the world does.
That happens to a lot of people.
It happens to a lot of Christians. So all you have to do is the same thing. Say, "Lord,
return.
Return. I failed you. I have let my belief in you and my love for you to diminish, and it's affected my life, and I'm living the wrong way." Ask Him to forgive you. He'll start over with you. His hand's never too short, the Bible says. You can start over many times, but be sincere about it this time when you ask Him to come in again and to take over your life. Commit yourself to Him totally, day by day, and you'll come out from among the world, and you'll accomplish the things that God wants to be done with you to help other people as well.
Rededicate.
That's all it takes. Simple prayer. When I got saved on the side of the road years ago, I had never been to church, hardly at all, and I didn't know what to do. I never prayed before, and all I asked Him, I says, "Lord, I know I've made many mistakes. Would you please forgive me? And I want to start over with you." And you know what? That quick. And Don and I's life on that day changed forever, and it's never been any other way. We fell in love with the Messiah, and so we were involved with things that God wants to be involved with and not anything else. And so it was a new beginning. We've never fell away, thank God. But if we ever did, God's right there. If we make a decision in our heart to come back and to obey Him and to begin to do things that God would have us to do. And the main thing is to walk a holy life. We've been doing the Torah teachings on Friday night. Some people got tired of that maybe, but let me tell you, the Torah has so much in it to teach us about how we should be walking. And that's what we need in our lives. And so as we read, it's going to change us. I'm reminded when they had the ecumenical apostolic meeting in the book of Acts, and all these Gentiles were coming in, and they said, "Well, what should we do with these people?" And so they chose four things that they were required to do, But then it says right after that, it says, when they went to the synagogue and heard Moses read. Well, what's Moses? The Torah.
He read the Torah.
When they went and heard Moses read, they began to realize the things that they had been doing and all that needed to be changed. And so what happened? As they went along, these things were taken out of their life and they were changed. They became a new creature. Really, something changed in their heart. They were going to walk with God, like a lot of the prophets did, and some of the good kings. And so something changed in their life. And so that's what we have to keep in mind. There's always a possibility for change. Amen. But we want the change to always be something good, don't we, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
Not something
Thank
bad.
You, Lord.
So we don't want to
Thank
fall
you,
back
Lord.
Into a sinful life. And maybe
no.
some of you, I think about myself, I wasn't a real big, a heavy sinner. I wasn't a cusser.
Done anything.
Anything. But you say, well, I wasn't so bad. That's what the people say. Well, I wasn't so bad. I'm not so bad. But you are.
That's right. We've all sinned and fallen short.
And missed the glory of God and his reflection into the world. So he
That's
wants
right.
you to be
so
a light out here.
We all need the Lord. We all need a Savior. And his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, our Master. Amen. He's the Master. He's the teacher.
And remember Amen. This, that God's not done with Israel.
That's right.
He's doing a work. A lot of people are getting upset now because President Trump's wanting to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to the capital, which is Jerusalem.
It's going to be moved.
Let it be moved.
It's going to be moved.
It's
no
God's
matter
city.
What people say, and perhaps other nations will also move their embassies to Jerusalem. That's
right.
Where it should be. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be here every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon. We're also on the internet, WCNO.com, and you can go back and listen to Pastor Gene's teaching again on this teaching on Hanukkah and dedication in the last days.
Hallelujah.
And if you want his book, his commentary called Pictures of the Messiah and God's Calendar, just give us a phone call. We'd be glad to give you the address, and you can send a check for that. It's only $25 plus shipping and handling. We do have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday night at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 11.
Amen.
So come worship God with us, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
That's Revelation 19:10.
That's right.
Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Prophecy.
Our
yeah.
phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Amen. So we'd ask you in this season, and if you've been listening to this program for a long time, maybe somebody's just been listening for a month. If God gives you an unction to send an offering in, we could certainly use it. We appreciate you doing that.
Amen.
And God will honor you with that as well. So you give as the Lord shows you. So as we close this program, every week, I get excited about these times and what we're coming into and all that.
Amen.
And so as we close this program, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh, as the Bible says. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the spirit of prophecy.
Standard.